It's a lot for a young man to find the perfect wife. It's a whole lot to send an old man to find a young man a perfect wife. This is way beyond my abilities. It's humanly impossible. So he does the only reasonable thing. Are you following what's going on? Whenever it's impossible, we pray to the God who does the impossible. That's reasonable. You trying to fix what is impossible? Not so bright, sweetheart. So he does the only reasonable thing. He asked the Lord, the God of the universe, the God of his master Abraham, to give him success and demonstrate his love for Abraham by making it clear which woman he is to take home to be Isaac's wife. That's some pretty amazing faith. Verse 15, here's what happened. Before he finished praying. Oh, that's good when God provides before we finish praying. Before he finished praying, he saw a young woman, he was praying with his eyes open, named Rebecca, coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, who was the son of Abraham's brother, Nahor, and his wife, Milcah. I'm going to do that just to make you guys laugh. It's kind of funny. Verse 16, Rebecca was very beautiful. You know what? There's nothing wrong with pretty women, all right? Rebecca was very beautiful and old enough to be married, but she was still a virgin. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up again, running over to her. I like this. Servant is motivated. He's full blast, running over to her. The servant said, I'm really making jokes about it. I don't think he was that old. Please give me a little drink of water from your jug. So he told God what he was going to do. Now he's hoping that God's going to do what he hopes he's going to do. Verse 18, yes, my Lord, she answered. She probably said something like, yes, my Lord. She answered, have a drink. And she quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and gave him a drink. When she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink. Oh, sweetie. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 20, so she quickly emptied her jug into the watering trough and she ran back to the well to draw water for all his camels. How many camels did he have? Yeah. Before he had finished praying, up walks this spectacular young lady. She has a water jug. She is Abraham's great niece, keeping it all in the family. She is very beautiful, which when you're young, that is all that's important. Dad says, I got a girlfriend. Dad says, can she cook? I'm like, I don't know. She's pretty. Does she have an education? I don't know. She's pretty. She gave him a drink. She's still a virgin. She watered his camel. She is amazing. This woman can work and she's beautiful. Verse 21, the servant watched her in silence. It's a little weird. Wondering whether or not the Lord had given him success in his mission. Focus, you guys. This is the sacred, holy word of God. The servant watched her in silence, wondering whether or not the Lord had given him success in his mission. Are you picturing this? She's watering his camels. He's standing back going, Then at last, when the camels had finished drinking, he took out a gold ring for her nose and two large gold bracelets for her wrist. Now, I think that this is kind of typical of believers, of Christians. We ask God for something specific, and then whenever it comes along, we are either surprised that God provided or we're unsure that it could really be from God. God, if you send a beautiful woman who will give me a drink and water my 10 camels, I'll know that that's you. Well, ask for the moon, why don't you? That's a lot to ask. A stranger asked me for a dollar. I'm like, no, I got nothing. Now you think I'm terrible. So, I'm looking for a good place to go back. We're surprised whenever God answers our prayers. He's pretty sure that this is the answer. So he gives her some really fine jewelry, all right? Kind of got to grease the wheels, make this deal work. Verse 23, whose daughter are you, he asked. And please tell me, would your father have any room to put us up for the night? I am the daughter of Bethuel, she replied. My grandparents are Nahor and Milcah. Yes, we have plenty of straw and feed for the camels, and we have rooms. We have room for guests. She's pretty, and she's hospitable. This is the girl. Come on, man. Seal the deal. Verse 26, the man bowed low. Now, whenever we recognize that God is at work and he's doing something miraculous, this isn't a time to be proud, to be arrogant, to be stupid. This is the man bowed low and he worshiped the Lord. This is a God moment. In verse 27, it says, this is what he says. He says, praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham. He said, the Lord has shown unfailing love and faithfulness to my master. For he has led me straight to my master's relatives. That was the mission. And God perfectly orchestrated it because he loves Abraham and he wants to bless Abraham. The servant recognizes God's blessing. He recognizes when God's hand has sovereignly orchestrated a beautiful blessing. So he worships God. The Lord has shown unfailing love and faithfulness to my master. See, it's a love story. God loves Abraham. This is a story about God heaping blessings on those he loves. It's just how God is. Now you're thinking of all the caveats. There are caveats to this. I'm going to pause for a moment. Now this is going to take 3 hours. There are caveats. Abraham followed God and lived in obedience to God, and God dumps heaven out on top of Abraham. Lot chose to go his own path, and we don't see him involved in this blessing. Does he get blessed? From time to time, he does. Are you with me? I bless my kids. I'm kind to your kids. But I want to bless my kids. And you're the same way about your children. If you want to be blessed like Abraham, then walk like Abraham with God. There's enormous blessings in that. But you can't reject God and then say, well, God doesn't take care of me. Well, that's not the deal, all right? We have to look in the Old Testament and see who God is abundantly blessing. He's blessing his man Abraham. And those around him, those who follow him, those who seek him, those who walk with him, those who talk to him, those who are perfect, no. Get back to your text, Brent. Verse 28, the young woman ran home to tell her family everything that had happened. Can you imagine that? She comes running up the walkway, talking 100 miles an hour, explaining everything, waving her hands around, and the whole family's like, oh my goodness. All of those with daughters understand. Verse 29, now Rebekah had a brother, named Laban, who ran out to meet the man at the spring. Because you want to know who's messing with your sister, right? He had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists and had heard Rebekah tell what the man had said. So he rushed out to the spring where the man was still standing beside his camel. So she's great, but she left the servant back at the well. She's like, oh, I'm so happy. She runs off. He's like, I don't know, what are we supposed to do? Laban said to him, verse 31, come and stay with us, you who are blessed by the Lord. You who are blessed by the Lord. Man, I hope that when people have been around me, they leave and they say, there's a person who's blessed by God. That's a cool epitaph. Why are you standing here outside the town when I have a room all ready for you and a place prepared for the camels? He doesn't give him a chance to answer that. Well, because your sister left me here. Verse 32, so the man went home with Laban, and Laban unloaded the camels, gave him straw for their bedding, fed them, and provided water for the man and the camel drivers to wash their feet. That's a huge task.
ask. He's traveling with a caravan, and they take care of all hospitality. Very important. Verse 33. Then food was served, everybody. Hallelujah. We're going to have enchiladas, tostadas, tacos, burritos, some carnitas. We're going to have some carne alvada. We're going to put the spread out here. But Abraham's servant said, I don't want to eat until I've told you why I have come. Have you ever been in this spot where you're so excited that it's like, I'm hungry, but I got to tell you something before we eat, okay? All right, it's happened to me once or twice. You guys are looking at me like it's a totally foreign idea. So, all right, Laban says, tell us. Because this guy, he's like, I just got to tell you what's going on, and then we'll eat. Verse 34, here we go, hold on. I am Abraham's servant, he explained, and the Lord has greatly blessed my master. He has become a wealthy man. We've seen that throughout the story of Abraham. He's very wealthy, always very wealthy. The Lord has given him flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, a fortune in silver and gold, and many male and female servants and donkeys and camels. Yay. Verse 36. When Sarah, my master's wife, was very old, she gave birth to my master's son, and my master has given him everything he owns. And my master made me take an oath. He said, do not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my father's house, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son. But I said to my master, what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to come back with me? He responded, the Lord is who in whose... I'm going to read this again because this is important, verse 40. So Abraham responds to his servant, the Lord in whose presence I have lived will send his angels. That phrase is not in the previous text. The Lord in whose presence I have lived. Dude, that ought to give you the goose pimples, right? The Lord in whose presence I have lived will send his angel with you and will make your mission successful. Yes, you must find a wife for my son from among my relatives, from my family, from my father's family. Then you will have fulfilled your obligation. But if you go to my relatives and they refuse to let her go with you, you will be free from my oath. The Lord in whose presence I have lived. Abraham is not speaking of a God that lives far away or who is difficult to know or hard to understand. He's very present with his people. Abraham is speaking of a God with whom he has walked with and talked with. Abraham is speaking of a God whose presence has been all around him the majority, if not all, of his life. Abraham says to his servant, the Lord, who I know extremely well, will make your mission successful. God was present with Abraham. Verse 42. So today, when I came to the spring, I prayed this prayer. The servant is speaking again. O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success on this mission. See, I'm standing here beside the spring. This is my request. When a young woman comes to draw water, I will say to her, please give me a little drink of water from your jug. If she says, yes, have a drink, and I will draw water for your camels too, let her be the one you have selected to be the wife of my master's son. Verse 45. Before, he's telling this story, food's getting cold. If I was there, I'd be like, all right, okay, there's got to be a shorter version of this. Verse 45. Food is waiting. Everybody's listening to the story. Before I had even finished praying in my heart, I saw Rebecca coming out from her with her water jug on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and she drew water. So I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and she said, yes, have a drink and I will water your camels too. What? So I drank, and then she watered the camels. Then I asked, whose daughter are you? She replied, I am the daughter of Bethuel, and my grandparents are Nahor and Milcah. So I put the ring on her nose. Awkward. Again. Different cultures. Lean over here, sweetheart. I have something for you. I'm going to touch your face, okay? See, you guys read scripture way too fast. You got to just be there in the moment. So I put the ring in her nose. Dude, keep your hands to yourself. And the bracelet on her wrists. Then I bowed low and I worshiped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, because he had led me straight to my master's niece to be his son's wife. So tell me, he's anxious. He wants to know, what is the answer? So tell me, will you or won't you show unfailing love and faithfulness to my master? Please tell me yes or no, and then I'll know what to do next. Before we eat, I have to know, will you marry my master's son? Talk about pressure. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, the Lord has obviously brought you here. So there is nothing we can say. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go. Yes, let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servant heard this answer, he bowed to the ground and worshiped the Lord again. Then he brought out silver and gold, jewelry and clothing, and presented them to Rebekah. He also gave expensive presents to her brother and her mother. And then they ate their meal, and the servant and the men with them stayed there overnight. But early the next morning, Abraham's servant said, send me back to my master. He's already homesick. He's like, I want to go home. Send me back to my master. But we want Rebekah to stay with us at least 10 days, her brother and mother said. Then she can go. That's reasonable, right? Some stranger comes and knocks on your door, dads. Put yourself in this, you're in these shoes. Hey, I'd like to take your daughter to marry my master. Trust me. And you say, okay, give us 10 days. 10 days. But we want Rebekah to stay with us at least 10 days, her brother and mother said. Then she can go. But he said, the servant, don't delay me. The Lord has made my mission successful. Now send me back so I can return to my master. Well, they said, we'll call Rebekah and ask her what she thinks. Would you like to run off 700 miles with this hairy guy? So they called Rebekah. Are you willing to go with this man? They asked her. And she replied, yes, I will go. Man, what a step of faith. We think that serving Jesus is so hard. God promises every blessing under the sun. Do you want to follow him? And we're standing back going, oh, I don't know. I think I got a better deal somewhere else. She, what's being offered to her is this old guy with a promise. And she says, yes, I will go. I will follow him. Verse 59. So they said goodbye to Rebekah and sent her on her way with Abraham's servant and his men. The woman who had been Rebekah's childhood nurse went along with her. They gave her this blessing as she parted. Watch this. So the family gives Rebekah this blessing as she parted. Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions. That's God's, I mean, there's a funny joke there, but that's God's covenant that Abraham would have descendants like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the seashore, that would be innumerable. And now the woman who's going to marry Abraham's son, the family says, sister, may you become the mother of millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies. How cool, because we know the rest of the story. Then Rebekah and her servant girls mounted the camels and followed this man. So Abraham's servant took Rebekah and he went on his way. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, verse 62. Isaac, he's at home in the Negev. You know that little part of the Bible that's like this? The geography? Shaped like a V? It's hard to do it that way. I can't see you guys. Shaped like this. He's down in the Negev, all right? One evening, he's walking and he's meditating in the fields. The movies put images in your brain, right? He's a strapping man, perfectly tanned, a little bit long hair. And he's walking around with his hands like this, so his biceps are, mine used to. Now I do that and it bulges here instead of here. It's different. Men change. He's walking around in his fields, looking at the horizon, dreaming God-sized dreams, Isaac is. You got the picture? He's in his cool robe because he's a wealthy man. He's not out there in his grubbies. One evening, as he was walking and meditating in the fields, he looked up and he saw the camels coming. He knows what's been going on. When Rebekah looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted her camel. "Who is that man walking through the fields to meet us?" she asked the servant. And he replied, "It is my master." So Rebekah covered her face with her veil. Then the servant told Isaac everything he had done. And Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent, and she became his wife. He loved her deeply, and she was a special comfort to him after the death of his mother. That's the story. It's a love story. God blessed every single person in this story. That's who God is. Abraham was blessed with a perfect daughter-in-law. His servant was blessed with seeing God's perfect plan unfold, and he even got to be a part of it. How cool is that? Rebekah's family was blessed with a worthy son-in-law. I'm praying for that. I got the daughter-in-law. We've got the perfect daughter-in-law. Now we just need the perfect son-in-law in my family. Sorry. I'm inserting myself. Rebekah's family was blessed with a worthy son-in-law, and they even got some great gifts too. Rebekah was blessed to be married to Isaac, and she was blessed with all these extravagant gifts as well. Isaac, was he ever blessed? He got the beautiful woman. It's a pretty good deal. That was the opportunity for all the men to say, "Yes! Your wife, celebrate her." Y'all missed it. Those who walk with God. Here we go. I'm moving on. You missed it. Those who walk with God are blessed in every way. Well, Brent, sometimes I don't feel blessed. No, sometimes we don't. We look at the circumstances around us, or we compare ourselves to somebody else, and we're like, "Well, I'm not blessed." Dude, those who walk with God are blessed in every way. And those who love, those they love, pardon me, those who God blesses, those who walk with God, they're blessed in every way. And those that they love tend to be blessed in every way as also. And those around them tend to be blessed as well. Because like I said before, this word blessing is kind of like when God takes heaven and he just dumps it out on a person and it hits them and it splashes over onto all these other people. All of it is a demonstration of God's unfailing, never-ending love. It's incredible. After coming from the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's easy to just say, "Well, God's a God of judgment and discipline, and he smashes people out." He does, but then he also... I'm trying to think of a big adjective. I can't think of one. Now it's gone. He also loves us incredibly. Does that make sense? But I would contend that you and I are in a position to be even more loved and more blessed than Abraham and Isaac. God gave material wealth. He gave good gifts to this family. He gave them good relationships. He gave them good in-laws, all those good things. But God was holding out on his best gift ever. God reserved his best gift for you and I because he loves you so much. Well, Brent, I'm not sure God can love me. Dude, if he can love Abraham, who lies about his wife, he can love you. John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world so much." It's not the translation you guys grew up on, huh? "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son." He didn't give a bunch of gold and silver. He didn't try to put a nose ring in anybody's nose. He gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Listen to me, church. God does love you. God does want to be present in your life, even more so than he was present in Abraham's life. It's pretty cool, huh? Jesus says, I go away so that the Comforter can come and he's going to dwell in you. The presence of God in you. God does want to fill your life full and overflowing with blessings. But Brent, my bank account's not. That's not what he's talking about. This is not what he's talking about at all. God has already given his very best gift for you. God has done all there is for him to do to reach out toward you. The rest is up to you. You must receive his gift. You must trust in him. Ask him to forgive your sins. Welcome him to be ever present in your life. To be present in all that you do, everywhere you go. And then live in that blessing. See, you thought I was just going to go for a salvation altar call right there, right? Church, we have been given this. Now we live in it. Well, Brent, I gave my life to Jesus and I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, wash my sins away, and now I'm going to just go back to living a miserable, poor, pathetic life. No. God has given us the kingdom. We live in it. We're not distracted by the things of this world. Money comes and goes. I like what Chaz said. Money speaks. Money talks. It says goodbye. It comes and goes. Your wealth does not measure how close you are to God. The blood of Jesus measures how close you are to God. And the blood of Jesus says you're completely forgiven. And we get to come into the throne room of God with boldness and say, God, I need a miracle in my life. And this is the reality that you live in. So I'm going to ask you to love me with your faithful, unending love. Does that make sense? God blesses most those he loves the most. You and I are on the receiving end of that incredible, abundant, lavish blessing. God has demonstrated his unfailing love for you and I. We get to receive it. We get to live in it. When this world makes us unhappy, we focus our eyes upon the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may have to work harder at it some days than others, right? But we still live in the fullness of joy that comes only from the God of creation. Oh, that's good. It's a love story. A love story about God's love for you. Let's bow our heads together. Father, just thank you, Lord, for your word and that we can put our confidence in you and our trust in you. But Lord, there's times that we just need to know that you love us, that you're genuinely concerned for us, that you want what you see is best for us, and you are God enough to cause what is best for us to happen in our lives. And Lord, like you provide all of us men with the perfect wife, you have also provided us with a perfect Savior. Father, this morning, not only do we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to wash away our sins, but we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to make us citizens of the kingdom of God, to bring us into the family of God so that we can live with the mindset of heavenly royalty. This home is not my own. I really am. I'm just passing through, and hopefully as I pass through, people will see my life and say, there's a man who is blessed of God Almighty. Father, I pray for all of us this morning, that the world will see your blessing in our lives, that we will be unmistakably blessed by the God of all creation. And when the world sees that we are blessed by Elohim, they will be led to find Jesus. Point them towards Jesus, Lord. Help us to carry the banner of a great God, even through a trying time in our country. Lord, I pray that Christians, that believers, will carry the banner of a faithful God, and that you will attract unbelievers to you, and that they will believe. They'll come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that you'll pour out your blessing on them as well. Father, I am so grateful that we get to live in the blessing of a great and gracious and loving God. You are exalted and glorified. You are worthy of all praise in our lives, and I thank you that we get to worship you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.